So how does it feel to be a star?
It's never gonna last.
Let's just enjoy it while we can.
Our sleeping arrangements get out. All of this is gone.
I just hope you realise you're choosing a life of being alone forever.
Don't you want to just sing without this ridiculous paraphernalia?
People don't pay to see Rich Life. They pay to see Elton John.
Sorry.
I know.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by Boosted and Calm. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Lass. I'd like to remind you the Subbeacon is available on iTunes and Google Play. Just look at our podcast and search for Subbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Or did I hear wrong and iTunes no longer exists? What happened?
Yeah, it's like the podcast app or something.
When did this happen?
I don't know.
A couple days ago. It was about they talked about it as an impending thing,
yeah.
But I clicked on iTunes and it still came up.
I don't know.
But it probably just sends you over to the music app. Nevertheless, gentlemen,
I don't know. There's a bunch of apps.
You got the
podcasts on the apps.
Mm-hmm. The only apps I want are mozzarella sticks and jalapeno poppers.
I want unlimited.
Unlimited.
The TGI one with Fridays.
The full jack of baked potatoes. Sweet.
There you go. Gentlemen, how are we? Do we have a nice Father's Day? JVL, what's going on?
We don't do that in my house.
JVL, what's going on?
I like how you crossed your arms when you said that. You're like protecting yourself from the onslaught.
Yeah. No, everything's fine. Emotion. Everything's fine. Sonny, how is your life?
Wow. It's good, I guess. It's fine. I said I didn't have a story, but I did have a story. I forgot to tell the story, and it's a bad airport story, which is the most interesting story.
People love those.
So I was flying back from Dallas on Sunday last week or 2 weeks ago, and I was in the airport. I'm in the Uber going to the airport, and I see some clouds coming. I'm like, okay. And then I get through security, and by the time I'm through security, it is blackout. It is like storms coming. And sure enough, there was like a tornado-ish weather event in Dallas. People actually died, like a crane crashed into a building.
This is the crane that crashed in Deep Ellum. They had video of that. Awful.
Very sad, very sad. But even worse than that, I was inconvenienced, mildly, because I was at the Love Field Airport, where the power went out for like 3 hours. And then when the power came back
were
on,
you
they
above
had
ground.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They had like rerouted all of the airplanes around. So the flight I was supposed to leave at like 3 p.m. The flight I was scheduled to be on did not leave until like 9:30 at night. 9 or 10 at night. I was actually able to get on to another earlier flight because I had befriended some people in the airport, which is very unusual. For me, I befriended some strangers who tipped me off to the fact that there was like one last flight out of Dallas to DCA that was getting in on time. So I got on that.
Tell them that you were Vic's friend.
Yeah,
to the front.
President of the, but no, it's being in an airport where the power is out is extremely weird because all of the restaurants closed. So I couldn't like go to the bar and get a drink.
You couldn't go to Whataburger, which is a great restaurant at Love Field.
I ended up going to the Whataburger once the power came back on because I was there at dinner time.
Oh, yes.
Instead of at home at dinner time, like I was supposed to be. The power's off. And an airport where the power off is very weird. There's just nothing to do.
Silent.
So everyone just sits around, and it gets like steadily hotter. It's like some sort of weird, terrible experiment.
Was your phone working?
My phone was working, but because
running out of juice really fast.
My phone was working. I was running out of juice, and because my iPhone was broken at the time, I was having trouble charging it. I actually took the iPhone into the Apple store a couple days ago, and the like very cute Apple lady like looked at him. She's like, oh, I think there might be, you know, there might be some debris in there. And she takes it to the back and like cleans it out and comes back, and she's like, Sonny, there was a lot of debris in there. I felt very, very judged by my Apple lady.
Gross. You don't clean out the pork.
I didn't know it
on a regular basis.
No, it's
I don't
just
think
like
I've ever done.
I
yeah,
I was just.
You're
she's like
to use a wooden toothpick.
She's just like
canned air.
She was like, you need to be more careful how you put this in your pocket.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you put
but anyway,
pork up when you put it in your pocket?
I try to. I guess I never really think about it.
You
I just
never
put it in
my port up. You should always put it port down.
No, I thought you put it port down. I thought putting it port down gets the debris in there.
That's right.
No. Do you know how gravity works?
Yeah,
it's coming in. You're saying that it's coming in and from the air and into.
How would it come from the air into my pocket randomly?
Because it's all
that doesn't even make any sense.
The top of your
the
pocket
lint is at the bottom of the pocket. Down. The lint is already at the bottom of the pocket. I'm just jamming it in there anyway. So I have a dirty phone.
I just keep it in deep inside my pants.
Airport
vibrator.
Another fun fact.
Did
about
you read
another,
or nap or talk to people?
So I was reading a New Yorker, and the lady next to me was like, "Oh, is that a good issue of the New Yorker?" And I said, "I don't know. It's just the one I grabbed off the top of my pile." And we had a good laugh about that because when you subscribe to the New Yorker, you have a pile of New Yorkers at any time that is mostly unread, and then you throw most of them away, and you the pile gets a little smaller and then it gets bigger again.
Oh, that Andy Sidaris kills me.
The Borowitz report is great.
Steve Martin hasn't done a shout or a murmur recently.
Did you read the newest article from David Foster Wallace? It'll blow you away.
That wasn't funny at all.
It's not least of which is because that's not how we did it. We had a fun chat about the New Yorker, and then she started talking about why they were going to the city, and these are the people who got me on the flight out, who got me on like the last helicopter out of Hanoi. I was clambered on with them. This just goes to show sometimes if you talk to people, good things happen. I never believed this was
Hillary
true.
2016.
Trust me.
Never believed this was
it
true.
It always happens.
But this was a big, big, exciting experience for me having a conversation with a stranger that didn't go poorly.
Well, welcome to my world, Tony.
This is what it's like to be Vic all the time. He just
would enjoy that.
He talks.
Every time Vic goes to the airport, he's praying for a power outage.
Hey, come on, let's gather around.
The show.
Let's gather around.
There's a piano there. There are a couple airports that have pianos. Right. Have you ever been in like that?
Yeah. No,
Vic could be like,
tickle the ivories. It's like there's a great scene in High Anxiety. And Mel Brooks is there with Madeline Kahn at this hotel bar, and there's a guy, a lounge singer, and he takes a break, and they go, "Oh, doctor, do you sing?" And he goes, "Oh, no, not professionally." And the next thing you know, he's doing a song and dance number.
That's my story of the airport. I talked to somebody, and it didn't go poorly.
Sonny talks to people.
news at 11.
That's some big news. Speaking of which, last Thursday. It's funny you should talk about this. I'm going up, picking up dinner at our favorite Thai restaurant, and I'm pulling out of the parking lot onto the main road. But there's all this traffic coming through, so I'm just stuck there waiting so I can turn. While I'm waiting, an old lady comes to my car on the passenger side window and gestures for me to roll down my window.
And of course you did, because you thought, I could make friends.
The first thing I thought was, is she opening my door because the door was unlocked? You know, I wasn't going fast enough that the door locks.
Question, before you go any further.
It's JVL.
Have you yet seen the teaser trailer for It Chapter 2?
Yes, she looked like her. Okay. She looked like her. And nobody ever dies in Derry. And I rolled down the window out of curiosity, like, what the heck? Let's see what's going on here. And she says, excuse me, are you going down this street towards Harrison? There's a bus stop there. I'm wondering, would you be able to bring us to that bus stop? And I'm like, who's us? And I look, and it's an old man, both in their 70s, I think. And I stopped, and I thought, what the heck? Come on in. And I picked up these two septuagenarian hitchhikers. And they get in the car. The husband sits in the front. She sits in the back, the O'Haras, who spend most of their time in Fort Lauderdale.
You know their names?
Yes, I do. And then we start driving, and they go, well, we just want to get to that bus stop because there's a bus that will take you up Harrison towards the supermarket. I said, oh, you mean the Harris Teeter at, you know, the Lee Harris Shopping Center? She goes, yes. And I said, I'll just take you there. So I drive them, and for like the next 10 to 15 minutes, I was like an Uber driver. And I realized...
I was going to say, why didn't you just tell them about this wonderful app called Uber they could use to call a car?
No. This one's for free. And they were gonna take mass transit. I said, oh, forget about that. And it was warm outside. And they were old. And we had a lovely conversation. Thursday night is prime rib night at Harris Teeter. $10. And the prime rib is so big that I can't even look at JBL's face. That they could split the prime rib and it's got all the fixings. And I realized that if I were the Uber driver, I'd be the chatty. You'd have to opt.
Oh yeah, you'd have to. You'd 100. If Vic were an Uber driver, you would 100% have to turn. You'd have to flip the switch midway through, and he would know that you didn't want to talk anymore.
I would say it was about the conversation was like 60-40, 70-30 me asking questions and talking about the neighborhood. And yes, JVL.
At what point did they regret getting in the car with you as opposed to just dying walking to the bus?
Yeah, I would probably like, where do you live? That question, JVL.
Did you go into the Harris Teeter and shop with them? Because I'm already picturing the three of you walking down the aisles together. You say, oh, let me get that. I can lift that for you, Mrs. O'Harahan.
O'Hara, yes. No, I briefly thought maybe I'll just wait, but I had food that I had to bring back. It was getting cold, so I just said, okay. And he enjoyed the ride. Mr. O'Hara said he liked the car, my Subaru, and that was it. But I thought to myself, that would be a... You know, now I know what it's like, and I think I would much enjoy it. I don't think the passengers would enjoy it, but I would enjoy it because I was just very, I don't know, I like learning about new people. It's kind of these things. Of course, if I did it, I would be an Uber Black driver, and I'd have to wear the, Uber uniform every day. But, you know, I can get used to being one of those men in black. Speaking of which, over the weekend...
Men in Black, you know, I was very, very scared about where that was going.
Man, I saw you ready to do this. Why would you do that? Men in Black International took the top spot at the box office with $30 million, followed by a whopping $30 million, followed by The Secret Life of Pets 2 with $24 million. In third place was Aladdin at $17 million. And in fourth place, this is really interesting, in fourth place was Rocket Man with $9.4 million. When I originally checked Box Office Mojo on Monday, it said Dark Phoenix was ahead. But then after they made all the adjustments, Rocket Man turned out to win in a come-from-behind victory.
You know, blew it away. You know why? Is because Dark Phoenix dropped 71.5%.
That's amazing.
That's a little bit of a decline. So what you're saying is...
First weekend to second weekend.
That's almost a record.
That's it.
High score wins, right?
Yes.
It dropped to fifth place.
Yes.
Does that mean, is it because movie theaters are like, that's it, we're taking it out of theaters, so it's no longer in theaters?
Nope.
Is that
what happened? Same number of theaters.
Well, that's just because it got steamrolled by a juggernaut, which made all the money this weekend, right?
Yes.
The new movie, Men in Black.
Men in Black World and Patrol. Shaft, which we didn't even get to on the...
I cannot believe Shaft is even out.
$8.9 million. Bad. That's a bad number.
And it was amazing because everybody was demanding a new Men in Black.
That's all anyone wanted.
This is kind of amazing. I mean, yeah. So we are now... So Hollywood seems to be freaking out, per Richard Rushfield, because we have now had The Secret Life of Pets, Men in Black... Gojira, King of the Monsters, and the X-Men, and it just looks like people don't want to see these franchise movies that aren't very good. And nobody in Hollywood can figure out why they don't want... They're pre-aware!
Don't they
these
understand?
These titles are pre-aware.
That's right. It's built
the people
in.
Already
it's built
know
in.
About them. Why don't they want to go? And we are fighting a battle where awareness is high... And interest is low. It's kind of awesome.
It's definitely weird. I mean, look, I'm not totally sold on the idea that that we're seeing some sort of massive sea change here. Aladdin is still going to end up grossing over $300 million, despite being bad and having high pre-awareness. The John Wick 3 is doing better than any other. John Wick movie is done. Avengers Endgame.
But you like
Avengers Endgame
it was
is
a good Right, what we're seeing is that people you can't force feed people $50 million opening.
So this is I think the real lesson here is that it is not so much that people don't want to go see franchises; it's that they have no interest in seeing bad franchises. Like if you give people totally unnecessary sequels and remakes and reboots and soft reboots or whatever you want to call whatever Men in Black International was. I didn't even see it. I have no idea what it is, if it's a sequel or what. And I'm literally paid money to see movies. So if you can't get me to go see it, good luck getting people to pay to go see it. But no, I mean, look, there's a secondary level of concern here, right? Over movies like Late Night and Booksmart, which are these critically acclaimed...
Mm-hmm. Well, they're the best movies.
Indies.
You're supposed to
that, you know, in
see
theory,
them and like them.
In theory, you know, audiences don't really... You don't have... That doesn't have... That's a movie that doesn't have to open to $30 or $50 million. That's a movie that can open to $15 or $20 million
well,
and be a big hit.
Well, it's on 3,000 screens, it has to open
except,
to $20 million.
Except exactly right. So Late Night... Amazon did something very interesting with Late Night. Amazon, about, I want to say... 2 weeks before it came out, maybe 3 weeks or maybe even a month. I don't know. A few weeks before it came out, Amazon shifted Late Night from a full-on 2,500 to 3,000 screen opening to a limited release opening in LA and New York on Ooh. 4 screens without changing the wide release date. So what they did was they basically just created a preview weekend out of that they hadn't planned on doing. And then... There are some suggestions that shenanigans were in play to get up the per screen numbers on those on that movie on those screens. I have no idea as to the veracity of this, but Amazon reported something like $65,000 per screen.
That's so good.
Is extremely good. It had the best per screen average of the year for Late Night, and then when it expanded to 2,500 screens. I'm sorry, 2,200 screens this weekend, it did an average of $2,367 per screen.
That's so good, too.
Very bad. Very bad. That's a very bad number.
Oh.
So
I'm sorry. I thought this was low score wins, the drop rate.
No.
Oh, they're switched, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. So Booksmart, similarly, had a decent... it did not have a decent. So Booksmart again. Booksmart is a sort of movie what should have been opened on 4 screens, should have been opened on maybe 8 screens or 16 screens, and instead they opened it on 2,500 screens for an average gross of $2,700 per screen. You can't open a movie with no stars and.
Mindy
awareness.
Kaling's not a star.
Not
now?
A star. Absolutely not a star.
She's in Ocean's 8.
The girls from Booksmart, not a star. None of them are stars. I'm sorry. You cannot open movies without stars and telling original stories for indie comedies that need a little bit of a push to get over the hump on 2,500 screens. It's irresponsible. It's irresponsible, and you can't blame the audiences for not going to see what they don't know about. I had a bunch of people say to me, I don't even know what this is. What is? I just started seeing ads for this. What is it?
So Amazon purchased the rights to Late Night for $5 million.
No, $13 million.
$13 million, and then spent $15
million. $35 million.
Oh, $35 million on the marketing. That's three. When you spend
almost
$50 million
on this
the
movie.
Budget yeah. on marketing for an indie comedy.
Yeah. No, which is not what? Like $35 million on a wide release film is not unreasonable. That's not
when
an unreasonable amount of money to spend.
$15 million or $13 million, it is. That's
crazy. So they basically ended up spending about, if we are to believe reports, they spent about $50 million on this movie, which means it would need to gross in the range of $200 million to turn a profit around the world. Yeah, I don't understand what Amazon is doing unless Amazon is simply buying something for its library that they think people will come to Prime for.
At this point, I raise a question.
Sure.
About Lord Besos.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing Amazon touches, the great Lord Bezos disrupts and perfects because he's amazing. Everything that Amazon gets into, they're awesome. And then they come into touching Hollywood, and even Jeff Bezos turns into a blithering idiot. what this is the Richard Rush. This is the Richard Rushfield complaint. Like, you know, Hollywood is so weird, and the economics of the industry are so effed up that even Jeff Bezos walks into it and gets his drawers dropped on.
Well, nobody. This is so. Here's the question, though. I don't know what Amazon actually wants out of the filmmaking portion of their business, right? I don't know what the end game on a movie like Late Night is. Because if you're spending, again, if you're spending about $50 million on this movie, and you have to gross about $200 million on this movie that will never, ever, ever gross $200 million, it's not going to happen.
Crazy Rich Asians did.
You have to have an idea of what to do. So my guess here, I have one guess that is less cynical and one guess that is more cynical. Okay, less cynical guess. They're just building a library. They're building the Prime library, so they're spending a lot of money. They're doing essentially the Netflix thing, and spending money to build a library of indies. I don't know that this is necessarily a successful business strategy, but it is at least one that sort of makes sense, right? The more cynical, allow me to suggest that given the trouble Amazon finds itself in with a certain segment of the woke left.
What? You're going to go here?
They are potentially trying to allay some of that concern.
What?
By investing in a form of movie making that would appeal to the, again, more woke, diverse left. I don't think that this is actually what they're doing, because I don't think it actually gets them that, right? It's an argument I've heard, and I kind of am sympathetic to, but I don't think it actually gets them what people think Amazon thinks it will get them, if that makes sense.
Allow me to present a third possibility.
Okay.
Lord Bezos is on the rebound, and he thinks that Mindy Kaling is A-okay. And so he said, go on, get her movie. I want to be able to meet her.
It's possible. But he's already got a new lady, right? Isn't that why the first lady split?
Does he? Yeah. Well, yeah, but did she stay with him? I don't know, because it was the brother that passed
away. No, I just think, look, I think the first less cynical explanation here is the right one, that they are basically building a library.
They could just buy Disney. No?
I think Disney's too big now.
Is Disney now too big to be swallowed by a tech company?
I think Disney is probably too big to...
Except for Apple. Apple could do it because they have cash on hand.
Apple has, what, $1 trillion in cash or something? Like, I mean, like some absurd amount of money. So,
Apple could literally buy a continent. Just pick one. It could only buy one continent. Like, it maybe could only be Eurasia.
They could buy, like, Australia. I don't know if they could really buy... I don't know if they could buy...
Australia.
I don't know if they could buy, like, Asia.
Continent.
Or Europe. South America, maybe.
But is Late Night supposed to be funny? I mean, is it funny? Are people saying, hey,
is it supposed to be funny?
I mean, is it one of these things of, oh, I'm not going to see it, I'm not really interested, but hey, oh my gosh, if you ever see it, it's hilarious. You don't know.
Did you see
it?
I didn't see it.
We'll never know.
You know what? I did go see Booksmart, and that movie sucked.
Oh.
That movie, I was so bored. I was bored and annoyed. Wow. And it is one of these movies.
Oh, because girls can't be funny?
Girls can be funny, but those girls weren't. I was bored and annoyed with them, and it did not resemble anything like high school that I remember, or frankly, high schools that people go to now. Like this idea that these kids. So, like, the plot of the movie is these two friends who are giant nerds. And one is the valedictorian, and they're like, we're going to great colleges, and you losers are going to be stuck here in town. And all the other kids are like, I'm going to Yale. I'm going to Brown. You know, I got a job at Google. Like, how would these people not know? How would these people not know what their classmates are doing? That's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's ludicrous nonsense.
That's true. You know what movie really holds up still? Mean Girls.
It's unbelievable. That really does. Mean Girls is great.
It's fantastic. Lacey Chabert is so good. That's all I'm going to say.
She's very,
very good.
But they're all very good. Amanda Seyfried, they're all very good. All the girls are good.
I'm not sure if we're judging this on the same
What are we talking about?
Oh, where are we?
Anyway, okay. Well, we're not actually talking.
Where am I?
We're
not. We did almost no banter. Almost no dudes chatting. This is what we just talked about the industry.
We did.
This is what the people
industry
want.
Chatter.
The people want some industry
of the
talk.
Some of the other people did it. They already tuned out. We're not talking about those. We're not talking about Men in Black because we didn't see that. But we are talking about Rocket Man, which
Rocket
I believe
Man.
We all saw.
We have all seen.
Okay.
Did anyone else see it? Oh, don't you hold down on me.
You're
don't
to,
do it.
I think you might have to use some elevator music for this, Sonny. Okay.
Oh, God. I'm going to bleep this whole thing.
Rocket Man takes a long, hard look at Elton John. He was gushing with talent. At the Troubadour, he blew the entire audience away. But manager John Reed was only using him and milked him for what he was worth. In the end, he comes out on top, 5 stars.
Yay, Gene!
Quick and to the point. That's how I like it. Sonny. I tried to work in Cream of the Crop, but that was like, okay, let's move on. Okay, go ahead. Sonny, how about a quick review of Rocket Man? Which I enjoyed editing.
So, yeah, I finally have reviewed it. It's been out for like 3 weeks. I've been so behind. I've got things percolating. But this movie. So here's the only way. I wasn't sure how to review this movie except to compare it to Bohemian Rhapsody, which is basically yes. you kind of have to do because Bohemian Rhapsody was just a big hit and won a bunch of Oscars.
Same
blah, blah.
Director.
Well, Dexter Fletcher wrote Bohemian Rhapsody and I think produced it and he directed okay. this. Bryan Singer, of course, directed.
Oh.
Directed
who?
You better Bohemian Rhapsody.
I hope you bleep that name.
Rocket Man is so Bohemian Rhapsody. A friend of ours, Comfortably Smug. Well, maybe not JBLs anymore. I think you guys got in a little fight. But described Bohemian Rhapsody as like somebody was just reading a Wikipedia page out loud. And that's exactly what that movie felt like. And Rocket Man does not feel like that. Rocket Man actually takes the basic plot points of the musical biopic that were so capably mocked and parodied in Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story, and then kind of builds upon them with these fantastical, surreal moments and these giant musical numbers that look like something off a Broadway show. This is what I will say for it, is that it is never boring. I was never bored by Rocket Man. I was sometimes annoyed by it. I'm not a big musical guy. I don't like, if I want to go see a Broadway spectacular, I'll go see a Broadway spectacular. And you know, I'm not a huge Elton John fan, though I do like some of his music. So it was kind of toe tapping and catchy and great. But what it never was boring. I was never annoyed. Or at least I was never bored by it. I was never bored like I was watching Bohemian Rhapsody. So it has that going for it. Not boring. Still not great. Taron Egerton has charm and talent in certain things.
And he can sing.
Kind of.
Yes.
I
liked it.
Did you think he was that good in this?
He was great.
Flat.
I thought he was great.
Flat.
Thank you, Sonny. I like.
You're crazy. He was great.
Thank you, JVL. And that's coming from a singer. So I liked it. It certainly didn't shy away from his various addictions as he talks
sure.
about. And all this time, I mean, you just feel like all he wanted was, you know, it's this search for inner peace. If only he could find that inner peace somewhere, JVL.
I am here to talk about our friends at Calm.com. That's CALM.com. Calm.com. It is an app for your phone with breathing exercises and meditations and sleep stories. And I am here to share with you once more my week with Calm. So my girls were all out of town last week. It was just the boys. Boys can do anything they want. And so without the girls around me to fall asleep and listen to Calm, I did not have the girls doing their calm.comming. And I found from the very first night, it was a little bit hard for me to go to sleep without it. Here I am all alone in this giant bed. Mm-hmm. There's nobody for like two floors around me. And so I was lying there. I'm tossing, I'm turning. And then I realized, wait a minute. I don't have to wait for my girls to be here. I get to do it myself. And so I pulled out one of the adult sleep stories.
What?
With Miss Tamara Levitt.
The Waterfall. A sleep story for grown-ups.
Tamara's so great. And, you know, again, hand to God. I don't even need to take melatonin when I've got Tamara Levitt and Calm.com. It's so great. And the library is ever-changing. They're always adding new stuff. They have great readers. People with just fantastic voices. I love it, and we use it in my family all the time. Right now, Subbeacon listeners will get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/subbeacon. That's calm.com/subbeacon. 40 million people have downloaded Calm. You can find out why at calm.com/subbeacon. Get it today because it's awesome.
Thank you, JVL. So, what did you think about Rocket Man?
Well, it's funny you ask. You were not here for our Bohemian Rhapsody episode, were you? Or was Sunny not here?
One of you was not here. It was Sunny because we had Mike Warren.
We had the great Mike Warren.
That's right.
And Mike talked about how he is a Queen devotee, and so he was annoyed with some of the ahistorical nonsense that was shoehorned into that.
And that was interesting.
And I, to be honest, felt a little bit like that with this. So this... Rocket Man goes to enormous lengths to shoehorn in this gay subplot when Elton John was actually straight.
He was married.
He had a live-in girlfriend. He was married. And I don't know what they were going for by pushing this in there, but it's
one of the great hoaxes of all time.
So it's a real movie in a way that Bohemian Rhapsody isn't, as you point out, Sonny, because it does things to tell stories cinematically.
It's cinematic.
You know, like when he's doing the show at the Troubadour, which I thought was a great number. The way it was shot, where he starts floating and his feet, and everybody else is floating, and it's like weird.
And it's like holding a note, kind of.
And I gotta say, the movie, I was annoyed by it at various points as well, but Rocket Man is so damn earnest all the way through that it kind of won me over in its own strange way. I was slightly, so this is clearly like an authorized biography.
He approved it. I think he tweeted it out, so you know he's going
part
he,
of
he like appears at the end and the, and the little montage where we learn about his AIDS charity. That's just like, it's like totally toss, like, oh, by the way, he has an AIDS charity that's raised $450 million.
I would say it annoys me slightly because Elton John has a wildly interesting life, and it would have been nice to have had a more, a less filtered look at that life because, you know, so he says at one point, you'll have to write this down, the problem is that I've been a for the last 25, or since 1975. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been a since 1975. And, and from everything I have ever read about Elton John, understates things to an amazing degree, but also I'm sure would have been a highly entertaining degree. You get very little of that from the movie.
Early in the film, he talks about how he has like anger issues, and you never see any of that really.
No.
Yeah, he snaps at his writing partner once, and then immediately is like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Elton John... Simon Cowell was in many ways a housebroken version of Elton John. I always thought this was like the key way to understand the Simon Cowell phenomenon in America. So I know, Victorino, did you?
Yeah, well, first of all, the first thing I want to talk about in this movie was I can't believe, people say, you know, it's Rocket Man starring Taron Egerton, but really it's Rocket Man starring Taron Egerton, Jamie Bell, and Sonny Bunch.
There's the expanded universe folks noted that guy, and when I saw him on screen, I was like, yeah, I could see that. I
loved your. There was a guy. They're doing the first gig in the English pub, and there was a guy who runs the club and wants to book them,
wants to hire them to be the backing band for the soul.
And so prior to, I had forgotten. I had seen this on Twitter because the Expanded Universe said Sonny's appearance in Rocket Man is amazing, and I thought that's funny, but who knows? I had forgotten it. And then I'm watching this movie.
Oh, is he by the pool?
No. This is in the English pub.
Oh. But you only see him for a minute.
Sorry. Wow, that one, the assistant. Yeah. No. This is the booker, and he's wearing this wonderful. It's a double-breasted gray
blazer,
and he has the hair, the mustache, the beard, the eyeglasses,
the kind of scraggly beard.
Scraggly beard. Yeah. And as soon as I saw him, I remember what they said, and I laughed out loud. I just said, "Ah!" I said, "I just couldn't believe it." I said, "There he is. There's Sonny." So that was great. It's definitely weird, I think. I wasn't really I didn't expect it to be as much of a musical going into it. And the first thing I thought as soon as they get into the bitch's back is the first thing I thought was Hairspray. You know? I mean, this is kind of like this feeling. Yeah. And you're dancing in the streets and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then to accept that.
That Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting sequence goes on forever.
Yeah. Yeah,
goes on forever,
right?
But
he has a great catalog. That's the thing, and I liked his music. My sister had the cassette of his greatest hits with him in the gigantic glasses, and it's all in there. There are parts of it I definitely enjoyed. But I could tell, obviously.
The Dodger Stadium concert where he comes out in like the blue sequin.
See, I thought that was great. He gets taken from the pool through, like, you think he's going to the hospital, but it's backstage at the concert, and then he comes out onto stage. I thought that was all very well done and very, again, like, musically without being like.
I see that.
Yeah, and
there's a Sharks and a Jets aspect to the Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Yeah,
definitely.
As I mentioned in my review.
When he comes out to, I guess it's Shea Stadium, and he has this sort of depressed look, but as soon as he comes out on stage, you know, is it Shea or is it Yankee Stadium? I can't remember where he was at. It might have been Shea. And he stands on top. All of a sudden, he's got to be on, you know, and I can relate to that. That's how I feel like when I'm on the show.
That's how you feel in life.
That's how you feel when you're picking up the O'Haras off the street. Hey, old people, get in my car. We got stuff to do.
As soon as I walk out the door, gotta be on.
When you go home at night and you finish brushing your teeth.
Oh, that's...
When you look in the mirror, does all of a sudden are you like in the Joker where you're just like staring? At
I am. That's
so angry and unhappy.
In the morning, when you put your Warby Parker glasses on,
thank you. Was that sponsor?
Do you do the smiling exercises?
Yes, I do. I often do it in the bathroom. Here, I have to work on that. No, so there are parts of it that, and I mean, obviously, again, because Elton John basically endorses this movie, that means that he approves of going after, you know, the various villains, whether it be his parents, and by all accounts, the parents were not great, and certainly the father. But interestingly, he also goes after the first...
his manager
Dick James, and
who I couldn't place. He's the actor from Game of Thrones, which I looked up afterwards, but I kept seeing him on. All I could think was, he looks like a miniature Henry Cavill, whole time.
No, not that guy. You're talking about John Reed.
Stephen James.
And he was.
You're thinking
about
Richard Madden.
That's right.
Yeah, I was thinking about
Rob Stark. Sorry, Rob Stark. But the other guy, Dick James, who the actor who plays him has been in Snatch in those movies.
He was the label executive. Not his manager.
I'm sorry. Yes, the label executive.
Stephen Graham.
Stephen Graham. And, you know, by other accounts, he was a nice guy. And so the idea that he said, play me some music.
Was Stephen Graham in both Bohemian Rhapsody and this?
I'll look that up.
No, Aidan Gillen plays the same manager. The different. Yeah. Okay. So, but the idea that he said, play me a few, you know, bars, and he starts playing off the hits like Daniel or whatever, Candle in the Wind, and he's like, it's shite. You know, I don't, you know, I just didn't buy that, and probably not true. So I didn't like that. But overall, I did find it better. I mean, the music's better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, so the perfs are pretty good. So Taron Egerton, my favorite thing he does is the fake smile.
Yes.
It is, man, that's a good fake. When he sort of turns himself on and he is not doing an impression.
Yeah.
He right. is acting and not doing a bit.
I thought I
That's right.
Can I will modify what I said a bit earlier. I think his performance was good. I didn't think the singing was that good. I thought it was
the singing.
But my favorite performance in this movie, Tate Donovan.
Oh, I mentioned it. He's in my notes right here.
Wait, who is that?
Doug Weston at the Troubadour. He ran the Troubadour.
He's the guy who runs the Troubadour.
I've never seen
Tate Donovan comes into this with a very small role, and he's just got something going on. Like, you can just tell that this character deserves his own damn movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because he's like, Neil Diamond's at the bar. Hey, right. We're going over to Mama Cass's.
Hey.
Yeah. What did he say? Cass Elliott?
Yeah. No, Mama Cass.
He doesn't say Mama, does he?
Yeah, I Mama Cass's. He says Mama.
And that's it. When they go over to Mama Cass's, I just wanted to... Maybe it's because I had just seen the trailer for the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I just thought to myself, I would love to get a closer look into what this whole world was actually like.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the teepees.
Yeah, and the teepees, right. I love that scene. Tate Donovan was great because he's like sort of a leading man kind of a guy whenever he's done roles.
But he's like, he's gay, but maybe he's only Southern California. He's interesting. He's totally like, everything he's got interesting. Is like interesting and going
a little
on.
Bit of, here's a little bit of trivia for you. You know who was a doorman at the Troubadour? John Taffer.
Oh, look at that.
You could picture that too.
Yeah.
Okay,
who's that?
A Bar Rescue, the host of Bar Rescue.
Oh.
So...
friend of Vic Mattis.
Friend of Vic Mattis. Occasionally, we've run into each other. Great guy. Anyway, A minus. That's what I give this movie.
A minus.
Out of
the B range for you.
That's a lot. Yeah, no.
That's a lot. Let's not
I'll
get
tell you
crazy.
What, though. It is me, though. And the stuff was, the music would linger with me, you know?
That's just because the songs are good. They're good songs.
The songs are very good. I didn't have problems with a lot of the
scenes. What's your guys' favorite?
Can we fight?
Okay. Throw it out. What?
Elton John, Greater Sign Queen.
Oh, yeah. No. No, I'm with you.
Oh, I thought this would be a controversial. Mike Warren is going to knock down my door tonight, isn't he?
There's no way that Mike Warren thinks that Elton John is not as... Really?
Mike Warren, so with the Queen.
I'm kind of torn because I was going to say Elton John's catalog is deeper, like he has more hits, even if they're not ones that but Queen has a lot of hits too. I don't know. I would
Elton
have to think
John,
about that.
Greater Sign, Billy Joel.
No.
No.
Yup.
How dare you?
That's a New Jersey heresy, is it not?
That is Levittown.
No,
he's from Long Island.
He's a
Long
New York
Island.
Guy.
Levittown.
He is not a Jersey guy.
Yeah.
Elton John, Greater Sign, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that's not.
Wow.
Now you're just being provocative.
Yeah.
Now you're trolling.
I am.
But you know what?
I am. Mm-hmm. What time is it, Sonny? On Elton John. Elton John is okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I have the Elton John... Well, my wife bought the Elton John songbook for the piano. And it's hard. I'm trying to play some of that stuff. It is hard, but also... the songs are hard.
No. It just gets hard when you try playing it over and over again.
But, like, the chord, the opening chord of Benny the Jets, that's a beautiful chord. Okay.
I will say one more thing.
Okay.
True.
The writing method of Bernie Taupin and Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
I had
strikes
no idea.
Me as so crazy.
Yes.
And immediately analogous to the Marvel method. It is the musical version of how Stan Lee ran Marvel Comics.
It should never work.
Sure.
Because Stan's
and
not,
yet.
Right.
It did.
Yeah. Right. Bernie has like zero musical talent per se. He doesn't play an instrument, so it's not like Lennon McCartney. But at the same I appreciated that he was a prominent. He figured prominently in Rocket Man because there would be no Elton John without.
I had no idea that was the case. I had no idea that Elton John had
a writer. Whenever I see his works for Elton John, I always noticed the credit was Bernie Taupin. I was like, who is this Bernie Taupin? But clearly he was important. So now we know. Okay.
Favorite Elton John song?
Oh, no.
I don't need a whole ranking, but just off the top of your head, favorite song.
Okay. At the moment, it's Benny and the Jets. It's great because it makes fun of all the flavors of the month in terms of bands and music.
Okay. Hakuna Matata.
Okay.
I don't think that wasn't him. I don't think that's him.
It is. The Lion King. Of course it is. The Lion King thing. It's Circle of Life. He sings that.
Right. He sings Circle of Life.
Yeah.
But not...
I believe he does all of the music for The Lion King. I will effort while you tell us
what
your favorite is.
I'm pretty sure Nathan Lane does Hakuna Matata, doesn't he?
Yes.
He may sing it, but I don't believe it.
Okay. Also, a most amazing piano solo at the end of Benny and the Jets. Go ahead, Sonny.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Pretty great.
Okay, great. Right. You know what was interesting is they, you know, Live Aid figures very prominently in Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm. But, of course, Elton John was also at Live Aid.
Mm.
So,
but this movie ends before Live Aid, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It would have been a great crossover.
Yeah.
To see that
Rami Malek shows up.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why. Although I still say JVL, I'd still say the best performance in Live Aid was probably Phil Collins. And why? Why Phil Collins?
Because he gave the free tickets to the kid who watched, and he was there to tell you.
Do you remember this urban legend about?
That one. He drowned. He watched him drown. Because he performed on both continents. Do you remember this?
That's right. He went both. He got on the Concorde.
Yes.
Elton John wrote Hakuna Matata.
Okay.
Thank you.
But Nathan Lane performed
Correction
in,
on the spot.
What's the greatest
song ever written?
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you. Anyway, yes, I was always amazed how Phil Collins got from point A to point B easily.
I can't wait to hear Billy Eichner do it.
Whereas for us, getting from point A to point B means spending more time waiting than moving. If you're sick of waiting to get where you're going, let Boosted give you a lift. Boosted's vehicle-grade electric skateboards and scooters are the modern solution to your transportation woes. With a 22-mile range and max speeds of 24 miles per hour, Boosted is perfect for both running to the store and traveling across town. Designed to provide a luxurious experience, it's no wonder that Boosted was one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2018. With five options to pick from, including their new scooter, the Boosted Rev, there's a personal electric vehicle that's tailor-made for you. Starting at $61 a month with financing, there's no better time to change how you move than now. Right now, Boosted is offering our listeners $75 off the purchase of an electric vehicle when you use the code BEACON at checkout. Go to boostedboards.com and use the code BEACON at checkout to get $75 off your vehicle. That's boostedboards.com, promo code BEACON at checkout for $75 off. Okay, any corrections, additions, shout outs. We're good. We're off next week.
No. We are off next week.
Okay. We're off next week.
I'm not going to be here next week. If you guys want to do a show, I'm out.
Can we bring MCon in and talk about Men in Black? What's coming out this weekend?
Nothing.
It's Toy Story 4.
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah, let's take next week off.
Oh. I want to see it. Okay, that's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments, tweet us at Victorina Mattis at Sunny Bunch. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Apple anything, really. Google Play. Just type in Subbeacon under podcasts. We're there. Wherever you can find a place to review us. Yes.
Click that 5-star button.
Please do. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. Outtake stingers. Any other thoughts?
Did you guys see the thing I tweeted out today?
Oh yeah,
about the GE.
That was so funny.
The GE light bulb resets.
I missed this. What is this?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So there are smart light bulbs that like connect to the Wi-Fi.
They're
right?
So smart. We need them. Otherwise, our hackers won't know how to turn our lights off in our house when they rob us.
Exactly. So they have these dumb light bulbs. And there was a video, the GE had a video up explaining how you reset them. And I swear to God, it's like something out of a Family Guy bit. Because it goes on for 3 minutes. And it's literally just a guy, like a solid 90 seconds of it is literally just a guy saying, all right, so first you have to turn your light off for 5 seconds. Then you turn your light on for 2 seconds and then off. And then on for 8 seconds. And then off. And then on for 2 seconds and off. And on for it goes on like this for 90 seconds, just like and then at the end of it like blinks three times, and it is dystopic. We have this fantastic technology for lights. We have this amazing technology. It's called the switch. You got light switches and you flip them on and off and the lights work perfectly well. Mm-hmm. But now we've got this amazing device where you have to go through a whole 90-second process to turn it on to make it work with your apps.
I want to turn the lights off with my phone, though.
Why would anybody want that?
The light isn't as good if you don't use your phone to turn it on. This is...
you know what? Welcome to my world, because this is my argument for Uber and taxis.
No, but Uber
just
is
because
great.
You can do
but
something
Uber's
with your
great.
Phone doesn't make it better.
But Uber is better. Uber is more
but
convenient.
Uber is
you
better,
order
Sonny,
a car to your, do you remember to your the house other, and I'm in a minute.
Do you yeah. remember
you
the
get
other
nice
day?
Conversation like this guy.
That's why you got the button where you can turn him off.
I'm sure it's fine.